Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We are going to talk about Mary Washington Healthcare and Mary Washington Hospital this morning and an award that has come their way is really a terrific thing. And we're going to get into that this morning. Really a good hour ahead of us just for information. A lot of stuff that I did not know. And we will pass it all along to you in the next few minutes. Eileen Doman is here, the Senior Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at Mary Washington Healthcare. Eileen, good to have you back here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back, Ted.
And Mike Brown is here, the Program Manager for Cardiac Surgery at Mary Washington Hospital. Mike, great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to talk about an award. Mary Washington Hospital has received, has been named one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the nation by IBM Watson Health. Eileen, that sounds terrific.
It's pretty phenomenal, Ted. You know, where the award comes from, IBM Watson Health gives out three different awards to top 100 hospitals in the country, which is something that we would like to achieve. They also recognize the top 15 health systems, which is on our to-do list also. And then they recognize the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. And we were very excited to be notified earlier this year that Mary Washington Hospital is one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the country, according to IBM Watson Health.
That just, when I first saw it, when this came out a few months ago, I thought this must maybe one of those, you know, one of those kind of regional things that talks about, well, you know, your hospitals, your size and this kind of things. But no, this is 50 in the country.
In the country. So what IBM Watson Health looks at is they, and all of, you can't buy this award. You can't campaign for this award. The award is based on your true outcome data, which is information that we report to the federal government. Every hospital does. Mm-hmm. And so what IBM Watson Health does is they have some criteria. So you need to be a hospital that takes care of a certain number of patients, a certain types of patients, like patients that have had heart failure, a heart attack, different kinds of cardiac surgery. And so there's about 3,000 hospitals that meet that criteria. And then what IBM Watson Health does in order to get to the top 50 is they divide all hospitals in the country that meet the criteria into three groups. You are a teaching hospital, meaning that you train medical students, you train future physicians, and you have a specialty in cardiovascular medicine. Mm-hmm. Or you're a teaching hospital that doesn't have that specialty, or you're a community hospital. And so 20 of the 50 hospitals are community hospitals. Mary Washington Hospital falls into that community hospital category. And what we found out after IBM Watson Health came and visited us and wanted to hear about how we had achieved some of our outcomes is that Mary Washington Hospital actually performed at the 97th percentile. In other words, in our category of community hospitals, yeah, only one hospital scored better than us. So not only were we top 50, we were top in the top 50. So we just have really great outcomes. So when we think about our community and patients that need cardiovascular care, why would you go anywhere else if right here in Fredericksburg is one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the country?
Boy, exactly. As you continue to describe all this in the last few minutes, I mean, the 50 top cardiovascular hospitals looked terrific, but as you continue to talk, it gets even better.
Yes, it does. And it reflects a huge amount of work that's gone into this at Mary Washington Hospital. This journey for us started probably back in 2009. It was when the federal government started Asking lots of questions of hospitals about outcomes, not just how good you are when patients are there, but when patients leave your care, have they been positively impacted? Have good things happened to them? So, for example, for heart failure patients, how well did you take care of them in the hospital that when they left you, they were able to stay out of the hospital? When you did cardiac surgery, what about the very common complications that can happen with cardiac surgery? How well did your patients do compared to others? And so just as those examples, we've done a tremendous amount of work in the last 8 to 10 years on really looking at all of our outcomes and making lots of changes in our programs and services and facilities, quite honestly, to make sure that we get the very best outcomes. And so receiving an award like this is hugely complimentary and means a lot to us. It's certainly not the reason why we've done all this work, but it's a wonderful recognition for the hard work that's been done by so many people at Mary Washington Hospital and Mary Washington Healthcare.
Mike, when this came down, when you found out you won, boy, you got, I can't imagine the excitement level that you all must have had.
Yeah, it definitely is it's a tremendous achievement, and I think that for the most part, many of our teammates really felt like we were delivering the best care we possibly could. I don't know that we realized we were one of the top programs in the country, so that was pretty overwhelming. But in general, you know, we really haven't changed, you know, who we are and what we do. We continue to work very hard and strive to give the best care we possibly can.
Did you all know you were up for this, or did this just kind of come out of the blue?
No, and you really, I mean, what we now know is IBM Watson Health does have a schedule for when they do these awards, but quite honestly, up until we got this award, we didn't know. In fact, it came across as a pretty innocuous email that just said, would like to let you know you've won this award, and I got it, our CEO got it, and it was sort of, you kind of looked like, is this what we think this is? And then you get the official, you know, notification in the mail, and it was like, oh my gosh, are one of the top 50. And so, you know, it did cause you to pause and just say, wow, the hard work has really paid off. And, you know, the other thing that was pretty neat for us is, you know, Mary Washington Healthcare employs about 4,000 people in our community. And one of the things that we wanted to do once we got the award is we wanted to celebrate with every one of our associates who's part of this.
Yeah.
And so we started listing all the areas and all the departments that contributed to this award. It was over 1,000 people. So at least a quarter of the people that work at Mary Washington Healthcare had some way of touching or influencing our ability to get this award. And so we made that our focus, is we wanted to be able to celebrate with the whole health system, but particularly those 1,000 people that really are part of what caused us to get the award, because this was a huge amount of work over an extended period of time. And like I said, it's great to get the award. The most phenomenal thing is to think about the impact that we've had on patient people's lives in our community.
Yeah.
We have improved the health of the people in the communities that we serve, and this award just demonstrates that.
Well, and you mentioned a few minutes ago, and it's really worth emphasizing a lot this morning. Why would someone, when you're dealing with a heart issue, there is now no reason to ever look to have to go out of the community, because in so many things. And a lot of times I think it's just because it's home, and you just think, well, it would, you know, on any kind of diagnosis, maybe you ought to look somewhere else. And the fact is, whether it's heart or cancer or any number of things, now we're being taken care of. We can be taken care of here with just the same kind of care that you're being taken care of in you know, large metropolitan areas.
We participate actually in a state quality initiative. Eileen and I have been going to these meetings for probably 15 plus years. We meet quarterly, and all the programs in the state of Virginia participate in this initiative. And it gives us an opportunity to share our process improvement, our quality improvement initiatives, and compare our metrics, compare our data. We all participate in a national database, cardiac surgery database, and so we see everybody's outcomes and progress. So really, in reality, Eileen and I have known for quite some time that we have functioned at a pretty high level. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a surprise to us. And
a lot of these programs across the state will reach out to us and ask us, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing to get these types of metrics? So sometimes it's difficult when you live in a smaller town to hear that some patients may have left the area to receive care. But I think we know with confidence that we can deal with nearly everything with the exception of a few procedures like transplantation and long-term ventricular support devices. And so I think this helps us really get a message out to people without us having to beat our chest and say we are the best. It allows somebody else to do that for us, which is amazing and hasn't really, as I mentioned, really hasn't changed our perspective. We're still pushing hard to continue to get better.
Well, and I think the real message for people in our community is if you have a family history of heart disease or your primary care physician has talked about the risk of heart disease with you, we've got great cardiologists in our community. And these are community-based physicians. They're not employed by the health system. They're independent physicians who, to a person, are all committed with making sure that we provide the very best care to patients. And so when you see one of those cardiologists and they recommend any kind of cardiovascular procedure or any vascular surgeon in our community or cardiothoracic surgeon, when those surgeons recommend a procedure and those physicians recommend a procedure or a diagnostic testing that needs to be done, people in our community then can have a high level of confidence that they're going to get great care. They're going to get, we've got the state-of-the-art technology, the state-of-the-art technician, and we've got state-of-the-art staff that really know how to take care of patients. And so that should give people in our community a great sense of comfort. You know, one of the things I always think of as a nurse is it's important that we pay attention to the patient's experience and what the patient is going through, but we also have to think about the family or the loved ones of that patient. So if someone leaves our community for care, mm-hmm. while that can be isolating for the patient to be in some place that's not familiar, I worry more about the family that's driving back and forth that great distance with the worry about their loved one and plus adding travel and traffic on top of that. We don't have to do that here. We can take care of patients right here in our community with the latest technology and latest procedures and interventions. And we've got great physicians, great staff in our cardiac cath lab, in our electrophysiology lab, in our diagnostic areas, in our OR. You can get that very great care right here.
Mary Washington Hospital, named one of the 50 top cardiovascular hospitals in the nation by IBM Watson Health. That's our focus this morning. Eileen Doman and Mike Brown here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Big award by Mary Washington Hospital and Mary Washington Healthcare that we're talking about this morning. The hospital named one of the 50 top cardiovascular hospitals in the nation by IBM Watson Health. Eileen Doman and Mike Brown here talking about it this morning. Just some really good stuff. One of the things, I guess, Mike, that fits into all of this and that we sometimes don't think about, just the technology that's involved in what you do and how the hospital, the system has to, you always got to be looking ahead and kind of trying to keep along with technology.
We do. A few years ago, I think it's probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we were at one of our monthly Virginia Heart and Vascular Board meetings. And at least once a year, we try to list our goals. What are we going to try to achieve, at least for that year and into the future? And so the physicians were all meeting at the group, and we queried them and asked them to put what their priorities were on a whiteboard, so to speak. And the number one thing that they wanted to move forward with as quickly as possible was development of a structural heart program, building a hybrid OR. A hybrid OR is essentially a room that marries the characteristics of an operating room with mm-hmm. a catheterization lab, and it's a substantial size. It's about 1,000 square feet. Typically, the cost is, at least for us, was around $4.5 million investment, and I'll let Eileen talk about that in a second. But the purpose of that room really is to be able to start doing advanced procedures that we were not able to do up to that point, and procedures that we could foresee down the road 5 to 10 years from now. And we knew that if we didn't go in that direction, we would probably see tremendous outmigration of cases, because many of these cases were aortic patients with aortic stenosis, and it allowed us the ability to do what's called transcatheter aortic valve replacement. And that's revolutionized cardiac surgery, I will tell you, and cardiac care. In my time, I don't know that I ever anticipated 30 years ago that we would be able to replace somebody's aortic valve without a heart-lung machine, or even general anesthesia, for that matter, no sternal incision. And so this procedure was being done in clinical trials and facilities in our region at Inova, Fairfax, at VCU, and at University of Virginia, Sentara. And we knew that we needed to get involved. We knew that once the FDA approved that procedure, we needed to be able to do them here. And we collaborated with one of the local hospitals, one of the regional facilities, to start building our program. And then the construction project was roughly about 18 months to 2 years. Hmm. And when we opened, we really hit the ground running. We originally anticipated maybe we would do about 20, 25 procedures that first year, and we nearly doubled that volume. And then the subsequent year, we did nearly 70 procedures, and that growth just continues. And it's really allowed us, and dovetailing into what Eileen had said, the concern for us when there's out migration, not only is for the patient, but again, for patients that are having to drive up and down 95 and not really being able to support patients in the way they should, families support their loved ones in the manner in which they should. We can do that procedure now at Mary Washington, and families can stay here. The patients go home in 24, 48 hours, and it's just, I think it's a relief to a lot of these patients. Right before we started our program, we had a handful of patients that were wanting us to wait until we actually opened our hybrid room so that they didn't have to travel outside the area, and they were adamant about that, and we did that, and they had such a beautiful experience. Because a lot of these patients initially, when the transcatheter valve procedure was approved, were for high risk and non-surgical candidates. That's the initial studies and what it was approved for by Medicare and the FDA. And so a lot of these patients were in their 80s and 90s and obviously had special needs that we needed to be able to meet, and expectations from a family standpoint. We were able to do that. As the requirements have been kind of lifted, so to speak, we're now able to do not only high risk and non-surgical candidates, we're able to do patients that are moderate risk. Now we're starting to see patients that are in their 50s and 60s. And so that's a whole different subset of people who obviously want to get back to work and want to get back to what their life was prior to that. And it's amazing the results you see. These people are up walking in the intensive care unit the night of the procedure, and the next day they're ready to go home and they're doing amazing. So it's revolutionized cardiac care.
The night of the procedure.
The night of the procedure.
Yeah, our first patient was pretty phenomenal. So a lady in her 80s, mm-hmm. right, lived in an assisted living facility and came to the hospital the night before the procedure. And by her own admission, she was on continuous oxygen and said she could walk about 10 feet before she would have to stop because she was short of breath. So she had the procedure the next morning, and that evening, the evening of the procedure, she was in our ICU. She walked the perimeter of our ICU, and hopefully not too many people in our community have been in the ICU at Mary Washington, but it is a huge unit.
Yeah.
She walked the perimeter, never stopped, chatting the whole time with the nurse that was walking with her. That was within hours of having the procedure. So that's why, I mean, you know, when Mike talks about the technology, for patients that have a condition called aortic stenosis, when the condition gets to a certain level, historically, the way that you treat that after medicines have done all that they can do is you have to replace the aortic valve in the heart. That has traditionally involved open heart surgery, which is a chest incision, cracking through the sternum, heart-lung machine. You know, I can remember when patients stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks after open heart surgery, but at least nowadays you're in the hospital for 3 to 5 to 7 days. What TAVR has done is actually now the valve is replaced with a catheter that gets threaded through a small incision in the groin, and the catheter is threaded up into the heart, and a new valve is actually just placed on top of the old valve. And that's it. So patients wake up, as Mike said, they haven't had general anesthesia. So they're not nearly as sleepy when they wake up. Their incision is in a matter of an inch or two as compared to a 10 to 12 inch incision on their chest.
Yeah.
No bones have been broken. And that's their extent of their recovery is truly the next morning they're asking about, can I go home? I mean, they notice an immediate impact. In order to do that procedure, this is where the whole idea of it takes a village. You know, it first of all started, as Mike said, with our physicians, our cardiologists, our cardiac surgeons saying to us, this is a procedure we need to do here, because if we don't, people will go to other hospitals outside our community, and they may not be a candidate for this procedure, but once they've gone somewhere else and something else is recommended, they're going to pursue that. And so that will just perpetuate this idea of, if I need any kind of heart cardiac care, I have to leave the community. So they really wanted us to consider that. It ended up being a huge investment for Mary Washington Healthcare, because in order to do the $4 million hybrid OR room project, it meant that we had to do some construction elsewhere. So totally, the health system spent over $6 million to create the physical space and the technology for this procedure to be done. When a patient has a TAVR procedure, they've got the skills and talent of the cardiac catheterization team, the cardiac OR team, as well as anesthesiology, your cardiac surgeon and cardiologist, all in the room. That's why the room needs to be so big, is that the technology, the actual equipment you use to insert this very small valve is large, and you've got a large number of people in the room, because at any moment, if there is a complication where surgery has to be done, you have to be able to do that very quickly. And so it does take a village, and it took a huge investment on the health system's part. But like Mike said, that means that there's now over 100 patients that have had that procedure here that they have not had to leave our community, and nor have their loved ones.
We're talking about the heart program at Mary Washington Hospital this morning. Boy, some exciting stuff and learning a lot. Eileen Doman and Mike Brown here. We'll all continue when we take a break. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk. Done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Eileen Doman, Mike Brown here from Mary Washington Healthcare and Mary Washington Hospital. The hospital named one of 50 top cardiovascular hospitals in the nation by IBM Watson Health. And before we get out of here, we'll talk again just what went into that, because it's even more impressive than it sounds. But it is 50 top cardiovascular hospitals in the nation, and right here we have one of them. Eileen and Mike here. How many doctors are involved, Mike or Eileen, whichever, in this program?
Well, there's many. And so when we talk about cardiologists, we're probably about 18 to 19 cardiologists between the three groups that practice at Mary Washington Hospital. Then you've got anesthesia, which is another group of physicians. So, and they're also helped by the certified registered nurse anesthetist. So the CRNAs are a large part of anesthesia. You've got radiology, so whether they are the diagnostic radiologist, nuclear radiologist, interventional radiologist, cardiac surgery. So I have to put in a plug there for our own Dr. Alex Nahn, Dr. John Cardone, cardiac surgeons, thoracic surgeon, Dr. Tim Sherwood, our vascular surgeons. So there's a large number of physicians that come together. And one of the things that I think is most impressive about what all of those physicians do is, as Mike talked about earlier, particularly when we talk about patients that are being considered for the TAVR procedure, the aortic valve replacement, is that group of surgeons comes together every Monday morning at Mary Washington Hospital to review cases. So if there's a patient that a cardiologist thinks, gee, I wonder if this patient might be appropriate to have their aortic valve replaced, but I'm not sure, you know, let's talk about what the treatment plan might be, that cardiologist brings that case forward. And every Monday morning, they're sitting around the table are cardiac surgery, cardiology, anesthesia, radiology, and they look at the case and look at all the films, look at all the diagnostic testing to come up with what is the most appropriate plan for the patient. And that's something I always enjoy watching and hearing about, because when you're in that discussion, what becomes so, so evident is what's most important to every one of those physicians is what's the right thing to do for this patient, what's the best care. And it's also pretty exciting that when the best thing, the right thing to do for the patient is to have the patient treated and cared for right here, whether that is to have the TAVR procedure or open heart surgery or to be managed medically, those physicians really come together and keep their highest priority is what is the right thing, the best thing to do for this patient.
I've been part of that whole thing just on the cancer side of things. And my treatment has changed a couple of times because of that. And then to know that, you know, all kinds of physicians are getting together and looking at your case, I don't know that a lot of us realize that that's going on around here.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing process to watch. And again, what's most important to every one of those physicians, whether it's the cancer conference or the valve clinic, is what's the best thing, what's the right thing to do for the patient. And that group would be the first group to say, maybe the care for this patient isn't best met by us. But that doesn't happen very often anymore, because they know that we can care for these patients here and we can do the very best care for them right here at Mary Washington Hospital.
I would think, Mike, that as far as just recruiting and continuing to get the best, when you've got a program like this, when you have the technology and the setup and the, as you've described it, I would think that a lot of the best of the best are going to want to come here.
That's true. And that was actually part of the discussion years ago when we were weighing the benefits, the pros and cons of building the hybrid room and developing a structural heart program and doing TAVR is, you know, if we don't go in this direction, not only are we going to not be able to take care of a large percentage of people in our community from a cardiovascular standpoint, but we're also not going to be able to recruit the best physicians. The physicians that we're seeing come out of fellowship and training right now, they want to come to a place that's doing state-of-the-art care, regardless of the size. So many of them may decide, you know, I want to do academics because I want to be able to do these procedures. That's really not the case anymore. Now it could be at a regional facility or a smaller community hospital. The cardiologists just are not going to show interest unless you're doing those procedures. And we've been able to attract a lot of great physicians, both out of training and physicians who have been in practice for a number of years and are doing these procedures. And that's what they want to do. That's what they want to focus their practice on.
Well, and that's really been the focus at Mary Washington Healthcare, Mary Washington Hospital, really for the last 25 years, right? I mean, that's how we started a cardiac surgery program, is this is something that our community needs, and we should be able to provide that service. So we found a great cardiac surgeon, brought him here, brought Mike here to start that cardiac surgery program. The hybrid room, again, was in response to our physicians, our cardiologists, our radiologists saying, we need to be able to do this procedure here. People shouldn't have to leave our community for this. If this is a procedure that we can do often enough and well enough to get great outcomes, why can't we do that here? And it's even now happening again this year, where we've gotten feedback from our cardiologists, our electrophysiologists, our cardiac surgeons to say there's more things that we can do in the cardiac cath lab or the electrophysiology lab. So we've got another $6 million capital project underway at Mary Washington and at Stafford Hospital. So on the electrophysiology side, which is another kind of cardiac care, if you're someone who has an irregular heartbeat, the heart is, well, it's a muscle, it also has a lot of electrical activity. And sometimes that electrical activity sort of, I think about it sort of my very limited understanding of electricity, but sort of short circuits. And so there are procedures that we can do in the electrophysiology lab. We can also do things like pacemakers and defibrillators. And so our electrophysiology physicians have come forth and said the technology is advancing. We can do more of these procedures in the electrophysiology lab, so much so that we need a second lab. So we're building that second lab this year. At the same time, our interventional cardiologists are saying, there's more procedures we can do in the cath lab, but we need better technology. We need to make sure that we have state-of-the-art technology. So we're doing that. So by the end of this year at Mary Washington Hospital, we will have two totally refurbished electrophysiology labs, and two of our three cath labs will be totally refurbished. The third one is the hybrid room. So essentially, that will mean that over the last 4 years, our electrophysiology and cardiac cath labs and hybrid room have all been updated. We'll have all been updated with the latest technology. And at Stafford, where we have one cardiac catheterization lab, we're adding an interventional radiology lab, because also there, volume is growing and more procedures can be done in what they call a minimally invasive style, which is with a catheter, not with a surgical incision, not in an OR. And so the health system continually makes huge financial investments in the capital, but that's all based on feedback from our surgeons that says, if we're going to attract good physicians to practice in Fredericksburg, we need to be able to have state-of-the-art facilities so we can do state-of-the-art care with great patient outcomes.
Well, and as you described some of the technology and what you're able to do, like we mentioned, you have the surgery, you have the procedure, and maybe that day you're going home, which is just unheard of.
It's crazy. It's amazing. But it takes a lot of people. You know, it takes great care from the minute, you know, that patient is seen in a doctor's office, whether it's the cardiologist office or the cardiac surgeon. You know, they're immediately put in contact with folks that do scheduling to make sure that we get all of the diagnostic or any testing that needs to be done before the procedure that gets scheduled, to the time they come into the hospital and may be seen by our cardiac surgery or structural heart navigators that help them navigate through the whole experience, to the nurses that are caring for them, whether they're in the ICU or one of the cardiac units, into the cath lab, into the EP lab, into the OR, all of the physicians, the techs, our perfusionists. I mean, it's just the list. It truly is 1,000 people at the hospital it takes to be able to provide this care. But every single one of those 1,000-plus people take great pride in knowing that we make a difference every day. We do improve the health of the people in the community that we serve.
And when we're talking heart health, that's still one of the, is it number one or
still
one of the top killers?
Killer. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Number one.
It's a huge impact on people's lives. I think that's, in many ways, that's probably what drives a lot of us. I mean, when you work in a hospital, you're not immune to your own personal health crisis.
Yeah.
My family's been, you know, my father's family, he's had 10 siblings who have had either bypass surgery, stents, or a heart attack. So for me, there's a personal interest in that investment on my part. The thing I did want to say is that, you know, Mary Washington's invested a lot of money in the technology and the resources, but, you know, you probably know this. I'm sure the listeners out there know this. You can't just focus on those things. You really have to develop quality improvement measures to be able to marry with that technology, mm-hmm. with those physicians, to be able to get those outcomes. And that's the other thing I think the hospital is really committed to, is getting everybody on the same page, having those quality improvement measures so that when patients come in, every step of the process that they go through, whether it's open heart surgery, whether it's heart catheterization, whether it's a pacemaker, whether it's a transcatheter valve, it's been scripted. There are best practice initiatives put into place so these people get an amazing outcome. And, you know, nothing's ever perfect. I've seen that in my personal life, you know, from healthcare crisis. Nothing's ever perfect. But what we are striving for is to be perfect. And I think that that's where things are really starting to come together for us as a program over the last 10 years. We've really dialed that in. And that's probably reflective in the top 50 acknowledgement nationally.
Boy, it's exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it doesn't just happen. This didn't happen. No. It was intentionally. You intentionally. I don't know that you knew that something like this would come your way, but intentionally you have really been upgrading, and this is really the cherry on top at the moment. But you're not stopping. That's the other thing.
The award was fun because it caused us to stop for a moment and celebrate.
Yeah.
And you can never do that too much with the number of people that it takes. But we haven't done all this for the award. And since the award, as Mike said earlier, nothing's changed. There's still the same diligence. There's still the same groups of people getting together, looking at outcomes. You know, I mean, I think even we tease Mike that the day that we were celebrating the award, Mike was back in his office that afternoon working again on some other project related to cardiac surgery. So. No rest, you know, for the weary. It's the way that you stay top of the game is that you never get to the top of the game. You're continually working to say, how can we do this better? And that really has been the approach that Mike's led with his team, as well as the other cardiovascular folks that are part of the cardiovascular team, is everyone is very committed to how do we make sure that we do the very best 100% of the time.
Well, as a total side story, the procedure I had on last week was not heart related, but I was put to sleep and I was and I never even thought about it. But several nurses gave me kind of the rundown of how while you're asleep we're monitoring your heart, and it was very made very clear that you know you're the whole time we're watching your heart rate in different things. So, in all levels. Everything is so interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. And those nurses that you met on Friday take great pride in knowing that when your procedure was finished, you were awake, you were able to go home, mm-hmm. And don't have much of any recollection about what happened. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
And that's what they take pride in.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Mike Brown, Eileen Doman from Mary Washington Healthcare here this morning. We're talking about the hospital being named one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the nation by IBM Watson Health. We're going to wrap this up and talk again just about what that involved, because that is worth mentioning one more time in case you missed it when we started. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking heart health and, boy, the terrific care that we have in this area with Eileen Doman and Mike Brown from Mary Washington Hospital. The hospital named one of the 50 top cardiovascular hospitals in the nation. We're going to talk about, again, real quick what that means. But before we do that, we've talked, Eileen, kind of about what happens if you get the situation if you're in the hospital and cared for. If I start having chest pains, or if my family member does, and I call 911, how are you tied in with all of that?
Oh my gosh, that's a pretty incredible system, also. So, we've worked as a health system very hard with our local EMS providers. So all of our jurisdictions, we have very tight partnerships with each of our EMS groups, and they are great. And so when somebody calls 911 and says, whatever they say, but if they said chest pain, or the EMS arrives and realizes that this is something that potentially is cardiovascular, we have the ability that EMS can directly transmit some clinical information to the emergency department. For cardiac situations, one of the most important tools that they have is an EKG. And so they can transmit to the emergency department, to the emergency department physicians, the actual EKG that they're doing in a patient's home. And they can be directed to say, yes, bring the patient into the emergency department. And so to EMS, the idea is get the patient to the hospital as quickly as possible. But what's happening at the same time is that the emergency department physician is notifying the cardiac cath lab to say, we got an emergency coming in. This patient has to get immediately to the cath lab to have a procedure, because what may indeed be happening is that patient is actually having a heart attack. And by getting that patient into the cath lab, we can stop the heart attack. And that's exactly what happens, is we get a patient up to the cath lab. We'll talk about, for us, the metric is door to balloon time, meaning from the time the patient comes through the door in the emergency department to the time the patient gets up into the cath lab and actually a catheter is inserted into the part of the heart where the heart attack is happening and stops the heart attack. That's door to balloon time. And the national metric, the goal across the country, has been to get it less than 90 minutes. Our average is about 70 minutes. And so that requires us to have very tight relationships with EMS. And then when that patient comes to the emergency department, it is really a fly through the ED because they're getting up to the cath lab. That happens in the middle of the night. That means that cath lab team is coming in from home. That cardiologist who's going to do that cath is coming in from home. And the push that everybody is paying attention to is they're watching the clock to say, time is muscle. The quicker that they can stop that heart attack from happening, that stops the heart attack, which means we see lots of patients that they were having a heart attack, but after the cardiac catheterization is done, there's no heart damage.
Wow.
And so it is just absolutely incredible. We couldn't do it without the EMS. We couldn't do it without our emergency department that quickly. Sometimes patients come in, they come in by a car and not the rescue squad, and just said, oh, I've been having a little bit of pressure. Our emergency department physicians and nurses can quickly diagnose what's going on, get that whole thing mobilized again, and get that patient up to the cath lab. So pretty incredible stuff. In an emergency, again, there's a reason why we're top 50.
Wow. And that just shows you if you've got any questions and you're worrying about something, don't wait.
Don't wait.
And especially
time is muscle.
And that's really what helps to eliminate the risk of sudden death. I mean, from what's called an STMI, it's been shown that drastically reduces sudden death. And we see the results. It's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
This is just such cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you guys know it, but boy, to talk to you and actually hear and even just drill down a little bit more on it, this is really something. We are out of time, but for Mary Washington to be one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the nation, congratulations! Because like we said earlier, this didn't just happen, but congratulations.
Thank you. It's our pleasure and our privilege. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Eileen Doman is Senior Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at Mary Washington Healthcare. Mike Brown, the Program Manager and Cardiac Surgery for Mary Washington Hospital. Again, a great honor by the hospital. That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow. And it's Mike Brown. By the way, I want to make mention of your wife, Cheryl, who's a big fan of yours. And good to have you here.
Thanks, good to
meet you.
Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.